We'll have motherfuckers standing at your door with faux foes. Yeah. Did you know Tupac was actually talking about hexadecimal when he spit that? Yeah, little known fact. You see, binary can be, binary, the zeros and ones language of computers, can be deciphered into number systems using what's called base 10 or base 16, otherwise known as hexadecimal. And so you see, hexadecimal, if you look at the epistemology of the word, hexadecimal, you get 16, right? Which is why Tupac was actually saying faux foes, because you could group the bytes, the bits and bytes, four at a time into hexadecimal. Yeah, fun stuff. You learn something new every day. And I've learned a lot in the past few days about distributed database systems, and that's what this audio development journal is going to be about. It's going to be, we're going to call it something like deep diving into distributed database systems. And we're going to talk about some of the characteristics of these systems, what works where. It's pretty fucking crazy how much you could learn in a couple of hours by just Googling and Wikipedia and YouTube and the right things. Why someone would ever pay for a fucking college education, I have no idea, but I digress. So I've got my Merkle tree of words I want to get into here. Ironically, one of them being Merkle trees, because we're going to talk about Merkle trees, but I tend to sort of think about things in terms of these Merkle roots, which have all these branches, which branch out into ideas, and it's just an easy way for me to remember things. That's kind of a little secret to the universe. If you need to have a public speech or talk about something complex or, big in volume, you could kind of group it into this Merkle tree of ideas, and then you can remember this couple of words. And if you touch on a word, then you can get on all the branches of the word and so forth, so on and so forth, and really cover a lot of territory without reading directly from a paper or something like that, or from a teleprompter, right? Come on, man. So today we're going to talk about distributed database decisions and the details of such, right? Might get a bit windy. I am sorry about that. Well, I'm not fucking sorry. You could, suck a big black cock for all I care. It is an audio development journal, right? What is a journal is for yourself, where you work out some ideas. Now, obviously, I am posting this to the interwebs, me, the king of the interwebs, so I'm not naive as to ignore the fact that other people may and are, based on some of the pushback I've gotten, rational or not, on some of these things, people are apparently listening to these things, but, tough fucking luck. I do these a lot of the time when I go on my runs, because that's how it works into my schedule. And if you got a problem, you could write the Truth Social Network CEO, right? Petition him or send him your grievances, right? Now, in all honesty, if there was an easy way to fix it, I would, but when you're out and about, and that's the only time you have to do something, having a better mic is not really necessarily going to fix it, right? So, when I'm home or somewhere inside, it comes out nice and clear anyway with a shitty mic, so it's really not about that. But this time I'm trying speaking it directly into the
microphone without the headphones. Maybe that'll be better. We'll have to see. Anyway, so distributed database systems, right? Let's talk about what I've learned from a few quick cursory Google searches and YouTubes and whatnot, which really sometimes is all you need. It's better to work efficiently than stupidly. I'd rather a good hour, a few hours, than 2 weeks of nonsense. I suppose that's different than, you know, prepping for the work you're gonna do so you could do it more efficiently, but you're better off almost even just fucking relaxing if you're not gonna be working smart. So here's what I found out, right? Distributed database systems can be broken into two distinct categories, right? You have your database engines and you've got your database management systems. So your database engine is essentially the software that allows you to create these tables, right? Now, these tables are basically the essence of databases. You could have, you know, table for different groups of data. You can group the data you put into these cells of tables, right? A lot of this is sort of like Excel, basically. You have columns and you have rows, and then you have data in these cells, and you could put data in the form of, you know, ASCII or the different ASCIIs, right? And the actuallys can tell you about all the different ASCIIs. And you could put it in the form of characters. It could be in numeric data. It can be date. It can be date and time. There's different date stuff and blah, 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 blah. It could be, digital signatures. It could be hashes, and you could sort of do cool things like do checksums on hashes. You can query all this data, which is the whole point. You can search and query and modify and create, and there's CRUD is the acronym for create. Create, what's the fucking R? Whatever. Create, R, update, and D. D is something else. It doesn't fucking matter. Concepts are important, as we always say. Create, update, delete, something like that. Whether there's a distinct R, I don't fucking know. Nonetheless, you got your database engines versus your database management systems are basically what in modern day is the two main parts of a database. It used to be they were one, and now we've kind of broken it down into these two main components to do things better, right? And so the database engine has many distinct, there are many distinct types of database engines. Bitcoin uses Google's LevelDB, Facebook's got one. A bunch of companies have one, and there's many different customized database engines which allow you to create these tables, and more importantly, the database engine is what basically stores this data to disk, right? And in computers, as I'm learning, you have, you got your disk, which is what stores everything, and then you have your memory, which is, you know, like the memory in your head. It can have short-term memory, and, you have these actions which aren't necessarily stored, but are done continuously in memory, and disk is what stores everything. So your database engine is what allows you to store everything that you're writing into the database to disk, right? And so, also, every database has basically these two main components, which are that you're either reading or writing to them, right? You're either reading and, you know, getting information from this database, or you're writing to it, you're modifying and adding information, right? And so you can kind of customize different databases to be better at either, you know, if it's a database that you're always going to be writing to more than reading, right? You can customize it to be quicker for that. If you're always going to be reading from it, you can customize it so it's better at allowing people to read from it, right? And so, you know, writing to can be something like logs of a site or something like that, which are continually updated, so you're more frequently going to be writing, and reading could be whatever, something that you're always reading from. You know, we don't need to get into the fucking nitty-gritty. What we're focused on is how this stuff applies to the Truth Social Network and our trade-offs and decisions that we need to apply to ourselves going forward, to the TSN protocol more generally, and to the client for running a node of particular TSN addresses or users, right? And so the database engine allows you to store this data to disk. It's highly customizable. Many people have written their own forms of database engines with their own code. And as opposed to the database management systems, which there's a few big ones like MySQL, I think Maria database, I Am Sam, like that movie with, you know, You Never Go Full Retard, whatever, or ISAM, something like that, right? I believe that's a DBMS and not an engine, whatever. So database management systems, the other major subtype of database, or other major part of a database, as opposed to the database engine, essentially allows you to group multiple, if you so please, tables into one place, right? So you could actually, you know, hence the epistemology of it, of the word management system, right? Or the phrase, I should say. You can, you're managing this system of databases, so pretty straightforward there. But the benefit to the database management system is you could have all these different database engines and or tables which actually do different things, and sort of use them as inputs to your DBMS, which is really cool and useful and helpful for especially us, and we'll get into that a little bit later or in the next one. Well, we're definitely going to get into it some in this one, so. And I do apologize for the sniffles. Must have just caught a bit of the vid. It seems to be, you know, Trump had it. Everyone's got it these days. Seems to be going around like it always is at this time of the year. You know, you go into work in the fall, going into the winter, and the cold is picking up. So, MySQL, right, is a database management system. It is the most popular one. And it's popular for a reason. It's the most forked version because it allows you to basically do everything. You can use all these different database engines in one place, and if you need to just tinker it a bit to your own needs, you can. And so that's basically the essence of databases, right? That's your high view of it all. So now we get into how it applies to the TSN and the type of decisions we're going to have to make. So I neglected to mention also that, and I believe this is an aspect of MySQL, is that you can actually create basically like a master or a leader database for other nodes who replicate this database. In other words, you can just have your database and then you could have others run an exact replica node, if you want to call it a node, which are essentially just other databases that follow the leader and just sort of, you know, update as the leader. Like the master database is the only person who's really writing, right? And that's, as we spoke about in the last one, is likely going to be exactly what we want, you see, because there's no consensus in the TSN, right? It's only the TSN address or cloud issuer who is making consensus. So, and I had no idea that this type of database, that it had a term or anything like that, which apparently it's called like a master database or leader database or something like that. But that's, you know, because I use, I think in terms of what they call fierce principles, which are like these principles that if you think fiercely enough, they stand on their own and can be discovered. And then other things can be discovered based off of these fierce principles. So now, and this is where it gets a bit tricky. When you are mining or transacting, and we'll get into that, right? You are going to be pinging the cloud issuer, who is the person who is writing to this database system and updating the state. It's not most likely going to be that others are updating the state, right? Which is very different from Bitcoin, which is a much harder problem to do. Because in Bitcoin, you have decentralized consensus as to the state of the chain and transactions. And so you have to have all these rules about, you know, how blocks are transmitted between peers and our peers sort of acting honestly and, our peers being a pest basically and not giving you the data you want, whether intentionally or because of an attack. And, you know, you're essentially syncing up. So in Bitcoin, basically, your peer gets the Genesis block to start, right, when you download the client, and then it sort of fills in all the rest, not exactly in order, and, you know, it doesn't have to because the chain has this backwards cascading effect of hashes built into each block, so you know that eventually it's going to get to the right state, even if he doesn't get the blocks in the right order. And so it's a much trickier situation, you know, and how blocks are propagated when they're solved by miners. And I mean, it's a much different thing than one person who just updates this master database. Hold on, the birds are talking. Caw! Caw! So it's much different than this master database and others just updating the state, right? At least in theory, right? So with this master database system, which would likely be just a simple MySQL database, could have different database engines, right? And we'll get into transactions and stuff like that, which feed into it, in this system of systems. But the question is it really right to call it syncing up in this type of master database architecture, right? Because the term syncing is really like gradually getting these blocks in Bitcoin, right? And then slowly building up to the current state from the Genesis block, which, you know, as you know, could take, I think, like a week or two or something like that with Bitcoin. Obviously, we have much less data. So the question is it really syncing up? And, you know, or is it just like you're downloading a package which has all the, you know, it has the current block height, and so it has all the blocks, and then it's just adding new information periodically. And so, you know, with us right now, it looks like a block every day at most. So it's really a very simple type of thing that needs to happen. And now, I suppose there could be, you know, they're all getting it from this one person, but that's the same situation with any master database. So, I mean, you could presuppose that the master database is going to be like DDoS or something like that, which had initially, even before doing this research, had me contemplate some type of hybrid system where it's like, you know, other nodes could add the most recent block, but it's still the master who creates the block. But then it's like, well, they need to get the block from the master anyway, so how does that solve anything? And all this is like, you know, thinking a bit too adversarially, right? You kind of gotta fix problems as they occur and not try to, you know, you gotta let this thing out. You gotta let things out in the wild a bit and let them get dirty and immune to things, right? In life too, right? So the point is, it looks like you could achieve what we need to achieve, most likely with a fairly simple master database architecture where nodes simply replicate this master database's state. Now, you're going to have to be pinging the master node with information in the actions of mining and transacting and stuff like that. But you're not writing to database, you're pinging someone who is, right? And bear with me, guys, because this one's going to get much more interesting, but you got to do the boring in order to do the interesting most of the time, right? You got to read and learn some dry-ass shit to get to the goody goods. So it looks like it'll be a fairly simple system. Now, the question is, you know, how are you going to store data in this master database? Like, in Bitcoin, you have these things called .dat files, which is like this sort of customized data which can only be read by the program in which it created it. In other words, if you open it as a text file, it's going to be like unintelligible mumble jumble. But if you open it with the right software, like with the Bitcoin client, you can parse this data. So that's very different from what we have or have had so far with these PDF blocks. And it's also different in a bunch of other manners, because I've covered a lot in this past few days. So we have these PDFs. They were TXT files. And something weird with that is how much bigger the PDF files are than the TXTs. I mean, they're like aesthetically and more conveniently better than the TXTs, but something like, you know, a few kilobytes for a TXT file that becomes like 20 kilobytes for a PDF, which is strange. At least that's what it was in a few of the cases I was looking at. But nonetheless, still compared to Bitcoin, incredibly small amounts of data, but I'm always thinking about these things. So the point is, how are you going to store data in this MySQL database? So with Bitcoin, also, you have these things called Merkle trees, right? And you have this thing called the block header hash, right? Or the block header and the block header hash versus the block. The block header or block header hash versus the block hash, right? So the block hash is like the unique identifier that everyone uses to refer to blocks, as opposed to the block height, because there could always be forks in the chain, so a block height could be two different blocks until the fork is resolved, right? And so the block hash is a unique identifier, which is unique to any specific block, right? And so how do you get the block hash? It turns out the block hash is not the hash of the block. That is one of the inputs into the block header hash, which is used to get the block hash, but it is not only that, okay? And so the block header hash, right, is something like 80 to 84 bytes, something like that, and so it's actually the header of the block, which I had no clue what that really was, in all honesty, until recently, because you have all these different overlapping concepts, and you're going to run into this type of shit when you try and learn anything new, and it's fucking annoying, but that's the, you know, hurdle in learning shit, is that you have headers for, like, website pages, which are, like, these get requests and different types of requests for HTML, and then you have like headers for a document, which is like literally just a fucking shit at the top of a document, right? And then you have like data headers, right? So I had no idea this whole time. I didn't really realize they're literally referring to the header bytes or bits, whatever the fuck it is, of the actual Bitcoin block as like what it's called, and it uses these magic numbers, and you can get into all that. We're getting real finely tuned here, but it is really interesting if you want to go get into that on your own. Magic numbers is basically this concept that you shouldn't use these, like, you know, random strings of letters and data to name something. It should be like a name, like block 10, not like HGF7, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, the block header hash or block header is composed of the previous block hash, okay? It is composed of the nonce, which is a whole other thing. It is composed of the Merkle root of the transactions in the block, which is going to be important. Some placeholder thing, like a transaction ordering thing, I think something like that. Nonetheless, you have these three or four inputs that compose the block header hash. And then what happens is you take, you know, a SHA-256 double hash of the block header hash to get the block hash, which serves as the unique identifier, and then which is referenced in the next block header hash, right? Thus creating this cascading effect. So anyway, the main point to take home is you have all this data in a block, but yet they've summed it up to this 80 bytes of data, which is which is used in the competition of mining. So all they're doing is just doing these iterations with different nonces of hashing or computational cycles of hashing on this 80 bytes of data as opposed to all this other data, right? So it makes things much more efficient.